So one tactic that a lot of the suffrage campaigners used was petitioning. And so I think a lot of people today will be familiar with e-petitioning, where you go onto the Parliament website, or indeed lots of other petitioning websites out there, and there's some text that you read, and if you agree with it, you put your name to it, and you might have to put your address and your email address and so on too, just to confirm who you are and that you're a real person. And this used to happen in exactly the same way 150 years ago, except it wasn't e-petitioning then, it was paper petitioning. So a piece of paper would be circulated with a text that you may or may not agree with, and if you agreed to it, you would put your name and your address too, just to prove who you were. And that's exactly what happened with the very first mass suffrage petition in 1866, and it's exactly what continued to happen over the following decades, is because suffrage petitioning continued into the early 20th century. Another tactic used by suffrage campaigners was deputations, which is perhaps not a word that we use so much today. A deputation is just a group of people who would go to see an important person, such as the Prime Minister or another government minister, and the deputation will be there as a smaller representative sample of a much larger body of people. So there might be, say, 100 women outside asking to see the Prime Minister, and it wouldn't be possible for them all to go in and see him, so a smaller body, maybe sort of 5 or 10 people, would be allowed in, and that would be a deputation. So 1866 saw the first mass women's suffrage petition come to Parliament. There'd been a couple of odd petitions before that. The first was 1832 for an individual, but the first time that a lot of women got together and organised themselves to get as many signatures as they could on a petition happened in 1866. And so a group of women from a discussion body called the Kensington Society discussed this in one of their meetings, and having discussed the principles of whether women should have the vote or not, they decided that actually women should. And so they started to organise signatures for a petition. And these women were middle-class women and based in London for the most part, but they had a reach far beyond London, throughout the rest of the country, to women in the Scotland and Wales, in the far reaches of the country, to Ireland, and even to a few British women living abroad. They used their family and friendship networks to go out to circulate the text of this petition to all the women they could and ask them to sign up to it. And the signatures in the end, they got to about 1,500 signatures, which included not only the sort of middle-class educated women who'd been discussing this as a topic, but also the wives of their butchers, their bakers, who they went and asked, their next-door neighbours, because they went up and down the street, knocked on doors and asked their neighbours and indeed their servants if they would sign. And so you get in the end a really nice representative group of women who signed this first suffrage petition, and much more diverse than you might think. Now, John Stuart Mill MP had agreed to present this petition to the House of Commons if they could get at least 100 signatures, and they got 1,500, so they outstripped this by far. And although 1,500 is a small number compared to what was to come, it was a remarkable achievement. Back in the day before mass communication, when women had to write letters or travel personally to circulate this petition, and they couldn't readily sort of click a button and send an email, or put it, there was no such thing as social media. So it's really quite a remarkable thing for such an obscure cause as this, because this is before, well before the suffragettes, it's before suffrage and votes for women became widely known about. And it must have seemed like a very odd and arcane subject for many people at this time, back in 1866. But I think it's a measure of how it spoke to women at the time, who believed that it was just not fair that they shouldn't have the vote, that they managed to get so many signatures. So the women that gathered the signatures for this petition included two women called Elizabeth Garrett, who later became Elizabeth Garrett Anderson, the first woman doctor to qualify in the UK, and also Emily Davis, who was a great campaigner for women's higher education. And it was these two women that brought the petition to Parliament in 1866. And they arrived in Westminster Hall and were waiting around for John Stuart Mill, the MP, to come and collect it from them. And I'm just going to quote from a memoir that Emily Davis wrote some years later, where she said, "We walked up and down the hall, Elizabeth Garrett carrying the petition amid a crowd of people. The large roll was somewhat conspicuous and not easy to conceal, so we asked an old apple woman to put it behind her stall. Almost immediately after, Mr. Mill suddenly appeared, finding us empty-handed. It was an embarrassing moment. Elizabeth Garrett, almost choking with suppressed laughter, said in broken accents, 'We've put it down.' It was, of course, at once recovered, and as Mr. Mill, taking it up and waving it in the air, said, 'I can brandish this with effect.'" I think this is such a nice story because it really brings to light what it would have been like for women in Westminster Hall, the great medieval hall, nearly 1,000 years old at this time, feeling themselves conspicuous with this large roll, and also the fact that they put it under the cart of an apple woman, which is an amazing little glimpse into a working class woman selling apples right there in the hall, who managed to help this really very important piece of women's history. John Stuart Mill laid the petition before the House of Commons, and it was duly logged by the House of Commons Select Committee on Public Petitions, which recorded that there were 1,521 names, which is a few more than we have recorded on the database today, so which might indicate that some names are duplicates, or it might mean that actually there was a flurry of last-minute signatories. We don't know who those were. Maybe even the Apple woman. We just don't know. And the following year, he used the petition as ammunition to move an amendment to the Second Reform Bill in 1867 as it was going through Parliament. This was a voting reform bill which allowed more men to vote, and he tried to amend the definition of a voter so it wasn't man but person to include women. Sadly, this failed, but it was the starting point. It was like the gun that was fired on a sort of attempt that would continue throughout the rest of the 19th century for amendments to be moved, for bills to be introduced by sympathetic MPs like John Stuart Mill, and meant that women's suffrage from now on was very much to be debated, a subject there on the table.